From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Black Lightning, now in its second season on the CW, follows a retired superhero who gets pulled back into the crime-fighting game to protect his family and community from a local gang. Nafisa Williams plays the daughter of the titular superhero. Her character, Anissa, a.k.a. Thunder, is the first black lesbian superhero to appear on TV. Kalina Buller, host of GPB's upcoming podcast, The Credits, spoke with Williams about her groundbreaking role.
How has coming from Philly influenced you in your acting career? Do you feel it's been an influence at all? Or
yeah, coming from Philly, I think we were taught to have this hustle about us and to
right.
go out and have this insane work ethic to go out and get what we want. And that has definitely helped me entering into the industry and being able to sustain a career in the industry. I like to say they don't see me coming.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, you were not originally going to be an actress, from what I'm understanding. You were going into law?
I was. I was working at, I went to school for criminal justice, graduated from Westchester University, right outside of Philly.
That's right.
Interned at the DA's office in the homicide unit. I worked in law firms. I thought law was what I wanted to do until I, you know, started interning and working at these law firms and seeing that it was just not for me and that I had to really go for my dream and go for this far-fetched dream that I had always dreamed about,
yeah.
But didn't really know how to make it come true.
Right.
Didn't really have people in the industry around me. No one in my family was in the industry, and it was just something that I decided to start doing in Philly. And I went on an audition while I was working at the law firm, and they fired me because I wasn't supposed to go. But little old me went anyway.
Oh, no.
I went anyway, and I got back to work the next day, couldn't log onto my computer. They were like, yeah, we need to take you to human resources. They fired me. Best
wow.
day of my life, because from that day on, I started to travel to New York and, you know, take advantage of all the opportunities that there was in Philly, and here I am today.
That's amazing.
Thank
Can
you.
I ask what that first audition was for?
It was for Foreman Mills. It was like for, you know, the department
yes!
store in Philly.
Yes, ma'am.
It was for print in Foreman Mills, and I ended up booking it, and I was in like all the Foreman Mills windows, and you couldn't tell me that I hadn't made it at that point. You
exactly.
know, just, you know, each opportunity gives you confidence. Each time you book
right.
as an actor or a model or just an artist in general,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is, when you book a job and you see that things are happening, it gives you the confidence to keep going. So for me, I was like, well, this seems to be working for me. So from there, I went to New York and I booked a soap opera, which ended up getting canceled. And then I moved to LA. I just tried to, you know, make things happen locally before I made the move to LA. You know, I believe training grounds that starts at home.
You're so right. That
yeah.
sounds, it's so funny you mentioned that. It sounds very similar
mm-hmm.
to my experience and a lot of it, other crew members' experiences as well.
Yeah.
Because we literally started in our backyard, like with
yeah.
me and music videos here
yeah.
in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And when the industry started knocking on the door,
yeah.
that experience.
Exactly. Is what prepared you.
Exactly.
All the opportunities that I took advantage of, from the acting classes to the print jobs to the small acting gigs and the small commercials that I did in Philly, it all prepared me to go to New York, and then New York prepared me for LA. So
mm-hmm.
it's just about the journey. It's a journey. It's a marathon, and we have to enjoy the process. And I think the process starts at home.
You're right. Well, speaking of the process starting at home,
mm-hmm.
I want to kind of go into your character.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She is somebody who, it sounds eerily similar to your own story. She was starting out
mm-hmm.
med school and, you know, the oldest sibling and that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden she has this
Change
power
of, yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
comes out
mm-hmm.
and she finds that those powers and those gifts that she had inside, she said, I'm going to put these to very good use.
Right.
Do you find that fascinating? Did the writers know what was going on with
no,
you?
No. You know what? Sometimes you are blessed with the script and you are blessed with an opportunity to audition for someone, for a character where the parallels are very obvious and they are, you know, a connection. But it's funny because, you know, when I think about the first season
mm-hmm.
of Black Lightning, and it's you see Thunder developing who she is and growing into the woman and growing into the superhero that she is, and the same, you know, same for myself, you know, the growth and the journey of following your dreams and developing into who, you know, you are and what your full potential is, there definitely are a lot of parallels. And no, they didn't know all of this before meeting me.
That is fascinating. I find it great.
Yeah.
So great. So obviously your character is the first Black lesbian superhero character. I mean, it's one qualifier after another.
It's insane.
Character. I mean, I find that people that take on roles that are firsts, they tend to have a little bit of nerves about them.
Yeah.
And they're just saying, I hope I don't mess this up, or I hope I represent in the way that I feel is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like you had that pressure on you when you took this role? Or you started reading on script and you said, oh my gosh, or did any of those feelings come through?
You know what? I mean, there was a little nervous energy because I've never played a lesbian before. I've been opposite of all men. But, mm-hmm. you know, I just wanted to make sure that I brought the foundation of love and not even to play on the idea that it's a woman. You know, this is a relationship, and at the foundation, it's love there, and it's no different than being opposite of men on screen. So I would have to say that it was like, oh, I'm about to play a lesbian. I've never done that before. But yeah. There was no reservation or nerves about playing one. I mean, playing a superhero,
right.
or bringing that to justice. I was like, you know, we all have a bit of a superhero inside of us, and it's about just tapping into what that is, mm-hmm. and walking boldly in it. But yeah, I didn't feel the pressure to like bring the role justice or anything. I just said, you know, here's the character, here's her truth, and bring as much as myself as possible and my truth and who I am to the character, and that I would be fine. And again, just in any relationship, the foundation is love. So as long as that was at the root of, you know, these characters, then I'd be fine.
Yeah.
And the writers, Salim and Mara Akil, and, you know, they obviously are the executive producers, and, you know, Salim developed this whole idea. I had always been really big fans of their work and always wanted to work with them. So I knew that I'd be safe with them at the helm of the storytelling and how right. they told this story of her being the first Black superhero lesbian. That's a lot, right?
It's a lot. It's a lot, but it's, you know.
Still feels like a dream. I'm really grateful to have been chosen to give voiceover to it because it is historic, it's iconic, and I believe that representation is everything. It means so much, and we all want to turn on the television and see ourselves. I think I was more so excited to bring that character to screen where lesbians and Black women would have a character to relate to.
I will get into that. When we're talking about now, second season. First
yeah.
season was groundbreaking for Black Lightning.
Thank you.
For the whole class, for you. I was blown away by how really important it was
yeah.
for the audience.
Yeah.
There were so many people that I knew who said, Black Lightning's on, and it's showing all aspects of Black life that a lot of ways
yeah.
that we don't see.
Yeah.
It's an extension now. We're
yeah.
We're delving into deeper issues.
Darker issues.
Darker issues.
Yeah.
And now I will admit, I'm a working woman, so
ah.
I literally was like in between writing up purchase orders and putting in bathroom orders
ah.
and sneaking, you know, looks of your episode
oh.
one this afternoon. But I will say that your character it's very interesting because there's you're kind of a vigilante. Like
mm-hmm.
your character's a vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
Like she sees the need to get things done now.
Now, yeah.
To, you know, make change happen sooner than later.
Right.
And you're kind of at odds with your father, who was Black Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
How are you approaching this? Not just in, you know, in your own head, but with your other on-screen actors as well.
Well, I think for me and my character, the thought process is by any means necessary. Like, I feel like I've been
okay.
given this gift and definitely taking more of a Malcolm X approach,
mm-hmm.
Not being afraid, not backing down, and seeing that my community needs me. And I am willing to, I'm ready and willing to show up and able to do whatever it is that we need to do, even if it means
going against, right?
Going against
yeah.
what my father believes is right. And at the end of the day, I'm an adult. And I believe that he's trained me and I've trust everything that he's taught me. And I feel that I'm strong enough and powerful enough and wise enough to do it on my own, whether he agrees with it or not. So you'll see how that unfolds
yeah.
in the next few episodes.
And you're... This season, you guys are acting alongside some titans.
Ooh, yeah.
In black acting.
I call them OGs.
Oh my gosh. Townsend?
Yeah.
Bill Duke?
Yeah, we freaked out when we saw that they were here. So it's been such an honor to work alongside of them and help have them here to help us tell this story. It's been great.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Because I said, Bill Duke's not playing around.
No, Bill Duke
will stare you into the wall.
Bill Duke is so scary. I haven't had a scene with him yet myself.
Yeah.
But love Bill Duke.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so great.
Yeah. And how blessed are we to have them, you know, be here with us.
Absolutely.
You know?
Now, going back to your character and that by any means necessary mantra.
Mentality, yeah.
Right. And that mentality. I find that echoes a lot of young people nowadays.
Yeah.
Is this something you're taking straight out of the headlines and you say, you know, this is what I'm going for. This is what Anissa needs to go for.
I keep a wall of inspiration to remind me and to remind Thunder of the purpose and the job that we have is to just make sure that we keep a few of these people on my wall, their names alive. So we have Nia Wilson, Sandra Bland, Angela Davis is huge inspiration for who Thunder is.
Mm-hmm.
Harriet Tubman, the original gangster.
Right. She was not playing.
She played no games, and I like to have that spirit. They also reference Harriet Tubman when they speak of me on the show
a lot.
Because she's, you know, such a thug. We love that. Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, again, by any means necessary. Malcolm X, if Anissa had an idol, it would be Malcolm X next to Harriet Tubman. Then we have Oscar Grant, and then we have Trayvon Martin. Just some inspo and, you know, remembering why, as activists, we do what we do.
That's true.
And just being inspired by the people who did it before us. Angela Davis, huge inspiration. So, yeah, that's my wall of inspiration I like to keep in my room. And I always like to, you know, have a glance at it, a glance or two before I walk out on set and remember why I'm doing this and who I'm doing it for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think we're at this place in our generation where we're just fed up.
Yeah.
And we're ready to do something about it. And I feel so honored to be able to use Thunder and Anissa as, you know, give that voice to them. So, you know, in hopes that we're sparking change, you know?
And not to get too political, but are there any particular things that are going on in the world that you particularly are paying attention to, let's say?
Yeah, I would have to say in the Me Too time, the Time's Up, you know, the era that we're in right now, just supporting all of the women who have come forward and who have been bold enough to speak their truth,
yeah.
You know, hoping that we can, you know, bring change, whether it be in my industry, whether it be at a workspace in an office in Missouri, who knows, but just knowing that that we're speaking up. You know, and again, I think we're in a place in our generation and where we are today where we're just fed up and we want to do something about it. Also, these midterm elections are really, really important. And I can't stress enough that we have to make sure that we are registered and that we're voting so that we can, you know, bring some change to what's happening, because it's devastating what's happening in our country with the political side of things.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. So I tend to talk more with people behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're our first on-screen guest on our show, let me ask you, are there any positions behind the scenes that interest you? And you say, I wonder about that gig.
Oh, for sure. About. I'm definitely interested in writing and knowing that side of the world and directing as well. I definitely would love to direct. So I'm paying attention and, you know, keeping my eye out, wanting to shadow some of the directors in upcoming episodes to learn that side of what we do. And it'll only inform me as an actor and as well as, you know, teach me and allow me to grow in that direction towards wanting to direct myself one day.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Is there anything, any particular job that you see happening behind the scenes and you're like, oh my gosh, I could never
Understand how they hold the boom and they hold it up for such long scenes, especially when they have to go over their head. And I always look and I'm like, you guys must have the most ripped arms.
Listen, right?
I can't do that.
That is stamina.
That is stamina.
On a level that I don't even understand.
Especially on a show like this, we go for months and months and days. And it's just
the same people.
I always look and I'm like, shout out to our sound guy, Robert,
yes.
Here. Because I'm always looking at him like, damn, Robert, how do you hold that boom like that? For such, especially like really long scenes.
Right.
So I can't, I don't think I could work in sound.
Well, I'll have to make sure to interview somebody in sound to find out. I'm going to get the tea, so we'll be all right.
That part.
Listen, when I was reading up on your dossier and they were sending me information about you, first thing that jumps out, I said, oh my gosh, she's a Philly girl.
Oh, are you from Philly?
I'm originally from Philly.
No
I've been
way.
Here for a long time, but
wow.
West Mount Airy.
Wow, I grew up in Germantown, Shelton and Musgrave.
That's crazy. No, my mother was born and raised in Germantown.
Wow, small so, world.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Where's your cheesesteak spot in Philly? Where's the cheesesteak spot for you in Philly?
All right, so this is really sad.
Let's go.
Because I don't eat meat anymore.
Okay.
However.
But when you did.
When I did, I like the spots in the neighborhood. I can't even say that I really like crying for Geno's or Pat's, which are, it's the neighborhood stores that are in the cut that you gotta go to who make the best cheesesteaks. But I will say, Ishka Bibbles had a really good chicken cheesesteak when I was eating it on South Street. Mm-hmm. When I was eating meat, I had, you know, my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have your little spot. Right. I just had to ask.
Right. No, you have to. You have to. You have to.
Well, thank you.
Thank you
so much for talking to me. This was wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks for coming by.
It felt like talking to a cousin.
Yep, that's exactly who I am, girl.
Yay!
Kalina Buller there hosted the upcoming GPB podcast, The Credits, interviewing Nafisa Williams of the CW show Black Lightning. Coming up, we give evil its turn. Marvin Jones, Black Lightning's lead villain, discusses how the show tackles issues like crime and police brutality. This is On Second Thought.